Luke 11. I want to begin this message by reading our text, and I want to point out the key summary of the whole matter, the conclusion of the whole matter, the point that we're trying to get to. And then we're going to leave this text and spend our time building back up to it. So we're going to begin the message with the text, and then we'll come back to it at the end of the message. Let's read Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. The Lord said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? And this is the key point. All right, this is what I want to emphasize. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's what He's talking about when He says, ask, seek, knock. That's what He's talking about. He said, the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at something that I pray will cause us to realize the need of heeding the word of the Lord. Man cannot live by bread alone. It's going to take every word from our Lord. So let's see if we will receive an understanding of our need to heed that word. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's toward the beginning of the Old Testament. First Samuel chapter 3. I told you a moment ago in the Bible study that study, or the Sunday school lesson, as some people call it, and this message, they would go hand in hand. They do, because they both emphasize the critical importance of the spiritual things of God. Both the Bible study that we just had and this message both urge us to lay hold on the only thing that matters. The one thing that's needful. The only thing of critical importance. The only thing. And that's Christ. That's Christ. And that's everything that pertains to Him. That's all that matters. That's all that will last. That's all that we need. I don't want us to just assume that we have Him. I've been thinking about us. I've been thinking about us. My brain has been running the pews, thinking about us. Thinking about the believers, the people that God has brought to worship here. I do not want us to assume that we have Him. I'm speaking to myself too. That's the point of this message. I do not want us to assume that we possess the only thing that matters. We say there's only one thing that matters. We got to have this one thing that matters. I do not want any of us to assume that we have the one thing that is needful in this life. Here in 1 Samuel 3, I want to show you why, right here in 1 Samuel 3. This is the story of Samuel. This boy who grew up to be a man, Samuel. You may know the story and remember how his mother, Hannah, prayed to the Lord to have him. The scripture says she was barren and couldn't have a child, and she prayed to the Lord, and he answered her prayer and gave her a son. And in turn, the scripture says, she lent him to the Lord. She gave him to the service of the Lord as a young boy. It's estimated by some he was around 10 years old. That she sent him to live in the temple to help serve with Eli, who was the priest, God's priest. He literally grew up in church. He grew up there. All right. He grew up in church. From a boy, he grew up in church. It was his life. It's what he did. It's what he knew. I'm sure that that young man was very diligent at it. I'm sure he was. Or Eli would not have allowed him to continue the service. I'm sure he was very devout, committed, as the scripture says. I'm sure he understood the importance of it. Do we understand the importance of this? I believe even our children understand the importance of this. I'm sure Samuel was very reverent in doing whatever his responsibilities were. But the scripture tells us something right here about Samuel that is of critical importance. And I want us to pay very, very close attention to this. Verse 1, 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision, just like right now. There's no open vision. And it came to pass, at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, when his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou calledst me. And Eli said, I called not, lie down again. And Samuel went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now, this is what I want us to see. Verse 7 says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He had obviously heard of the Lord. Obviously. He had heard the word of the Lord. And the reason we know that is because the word of the Lord is where they got the order of their service to conduct the business of the temple. God told them exactly how to serve in the temple. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He had heard the word of the Lord. I'm sure he could quote quite a bit of it. But the scripture says he did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Do we see that? This is so critical. It's just so serious. This is so serious. He was steeped in religion. He saw and he knew the ordinances of the temple. He knew how things went. He watched Eli offer sacrifices. He watched him shed the blood of bulls and goats. I'm sure one of Samuel's responsibilities was to help Eli clean up. I'm sure it was. And I'm sure he asked Eli, "Why are we doing this?" And I'm sure Eli talked to him about these things. Eli loved Samuel. Samuel loved Eli. For all that could be seen on the outside, Samuel was a fine Christian boy. That's what makes this so, just so critical. He was not a troublemaker out in the gutter. He was not. He knew the Lord's house. He knew the Lord's service. He knew the Lord's word. He knew the Lord's ordinances. He knew the Lord's priest. But the critical problem was, he did not yet know the Lord. I do not want us to know religion without knowing the Lord. I don't know if the whole thought of this strikes any fear. It strikes fear in me. It just makes me, it's a sobering thing. It's a sobering moment. I do not want us, like I just said, I include myself in this. I'm telling you, I include myself in this. I do not want us to have religion, even God's religion. Eli was God's priest doing God's service in God's temple. I do not want us to have religion but miss Christ. That needs to be a concern for every soul on this earth because it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Even the Apostle Paul said, all right, the Apostle Paul, he said, "I keep my body in subjection. I keep myself low and humbled because after I have preached the gospel to you," he said, "I don't want to find myself to be a castaway." A soul who did not truly in the end know the Lord and did not truly have the word of the Lord revealed to him. This is my prayer for us. This is my prayer for us, all right? I want this for us. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 16. I want this for us. Acts chapter 16. Right here, the Apostle Paul was brought by the Spirit of God to Philippi. He was brought by the Spirit of God. In the Bible study, we read that our Lord was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Apostle Paul was brought by the Spirit to Philippi. And verse 13, Acts chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was known to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God." All right. Those are two very important words. She worshipped God. She was a worshiper of God. She was a person who wanted to gather with the people who worshiped God. But until this point, we're about to find out that until this point, something was missing. Something was missing, just like every person. Before the Lord comes and does His work of grace, She may have heard them talk about spiritual unions and relationships with Christ and being vitally joined to Him. She probably heard those kinds of words. She may have heard them talk about the difference in religion and Christ. Oh, there's a difference in religion and Christ. The difference in the doctrine and the person. She may have wondered about these things. She may have been puzzled about these things. She may have had questions and kept coming because she was searching for answers. She may have been one who worshiped God but had no idea what that really meant. She showed up and went through the motions and left and came back but had no idea really what she was worshiping. But when it pleased God, and that's the key, when it pleased God, oh, this thing is all in His hands. This is all by His doings. This is all according to His mercy and all according to His grace. When it pleased God, in His appointed time, according to His good will and His good pleasure, He sent His Spirit to her. That's what we're witnessing right here. He sent His Spirit to her, and He did it through a messenger of His gospel. That's how He was pleased to do it. And through the preaching of the gospel of His word. Verse 14 says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard. Us is in italics. Heard. Look at that next line. Whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. This is what I want for us. I'm telling you, I love you. I care about you. And selfishly, I love me and I care about me. And this is what I want for us. Lord, don't let another day go by. Let's not put this off till next Sunday. This is what I want for us. By the preaching of His word, by the goodness of His grace, the Holy Spirit of the Lord opened her heart. Opened her heart. The Holy Spirit of the Lord called her, quickened her to life, gave her eyes to see, ears to hear, like that time our Lord stuck His fingers in that man's ear and said, be opened. Gave that woman a heart to believe. And at that moment, she stopped trying to figure out religion and she fell in love with Christ. That's what happened. She stopped trying to figure out religion and she fell in love with Christ. The Lord opened her heart. Hannah's grandfather, a very, very dear man named Ed Ballard. We know somebody who's named after him. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But when he was a young man with a young family, he became so dissatisfied with the false religion church he was attending. He went to the big place. And he was so dissatisfied because he said there was just nothing to it. There's just nothing to this. So he went looking. He went to other churches. And he came in to hear Brother Henry Mahan. That was one of the places he went to. And he said, I'll go back and hear him because he preaches out of the Bible. He wasn't finding anybody else who was actually preaching out of the Bible. And he said, at least he's using the Bible, so I'll go back and hear him. But his line, whenever he was leaving, was, he said, I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I know I'm not hearing it. That's what he said. Something's missing. Something's missing. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I know I'm not hearing it. And he kept going back to hear Henry, and Henry would stand, you know, at the door after the service, and everybody would come through, and Henry would stick his hand out, and he'd say, come back, Ed. And Ed was a big man. He'd say, I might. That's what he said. I might. Week after week, you know, Sunday after Sunday. Come back, Ed. Come back and see us. I might. Henry said, one day, the Lord opened his heart. And he came back to the back of the building. And before Henry could get a word out, he said, I see it. I see him. He said, I'm going to be back tonight. I'm going to be back Wednesday night. I'm going to be back next Sunday morning. I see him. I see him. That's the evidence that a person has stopped trying to figure out religion and has fallen in love with Christ. That's the evidence. I see him. I want to stress to all of us the importance of loving Christ. Falling in love with Christ. Knowing Christ, not just religion, but Christ. Not just doctrine. Not just doctrine, but Christ, knowing him, loving him, loving the gospel of his word, needing the gospel of his word, living on and feeding on the gospel of his word. Life is too short. It's just too short. We cannot afford to go through this life missing Christ. We cannot just blindly waste our days. They're clipping by. Just going through life, missing his word. Not knowing the revelation of his word. People say, oh, don't you worry about that. I know the word. My mom taught me, you know, as I was a kid, I drilled them Bible verses. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Samuel could quote Bible verses. Lydia could quote Bible verses. That's not what I'm talking about. Turn with me to Luke 24. How do you fall in love with somebody? Has anybody ever written a book titled How to Fall in Love with Somebody? How do you do that? How do you do that? Is that something you can just decide to do? Well, this just makes good sense to me. I think I'll fall in love with this person. Is that how it works? That's something God has to do. We're at the mercy of God to do it. Luke 24, the apostles, they were with the Lord for 3.5 years. 3.5 years they walked with him every day. Every day. And after 3.5 years, after he died, after he was buried, after he rose again, this is just before he ascended back up to his Father. Look at Luke 24, verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now watch verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. After all that time with him, you think about that, walking with the Lord. After all that time with him, it wasn't until the moment that he revealed it to them that they understood what they knew. When he revealed it to them, they were open to it. Their heart was opened. Their mind was open. Their understanding was open. They knew. They saw. They understood the scriptures. What did they understand? What did they see in it? What did they finally see in it? Christ. That's what they saw. They saw Christ. They saw Christ in all of it. They did not. They no longer saw the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. They didn't see the law anymore. They saw Christ. Well, now you know you got to have a lamb if you don't have a lamb. Christ is my lamb. They saw Christ. They didn't see requirements that man needs to do. They saw a finished work Christ had already done. That's what they saw. They saw a sovereign God. They saw a successful Savior. Up until that point, they were saying, we don't want you to go to the cross. Don't go to the cross. Oh, we're so sad because they hung him on the cross. Oh, as soon as he opened their eyes, they cried, thank God for the cross. That was their message. They saw the King. They saw the Lord seated on his throne. They saw how every word pointed to him and glorified him. They saw that Christ is all. He's all our hope. He's all our salvation. He's all our desire. They saw how the Father is pleased with him. And he's only pleased with us in him. They saw how the Father will only accept him. And he'll only accept us in him. They saw how the Father has given everything to him. And everything that we have, we will only receive in him. They saw that he that hath the Son hath life. And he that has not the Son hath not life. They saw how every story. Oh, I know those stories, those Bible stories. And you better straighten up and. Every story, every law, every commandment, every proverb speaks of his death and the salvation of his people through that death. Every one of them. He opened their understanding that they might understand Christ in the scriptures. Now, if you are one of the ones who are saying, and I hope so, we're going to wind up here. If after all this, Bible study, morning message, if you're one of the ones who are saying, I want to understand the scriptures. I want to know the Lord. I want to have the word of the Lord revealed to me. I want the Lord to open my heart. If you are one of the ones who are saying that sincerely inside right now, then know this. God is sovereign, and he is the doer of all things. We are sinful. And we are the doer of nothing. And what that means is, this is not in our hands. If you're one of the ones who are saying, I want to know the Lord. I want to have His Word revealed to me, and I want Him to open my heart. This is in His hands. We cannot do anything for ourselves, and we cannot influence Him to do anything for us. Scripture says we're dead. Dead in sin. But this is what God has said in His Word. He said it has pleased Him to, by His Holy Spirit, perform His work of grace in His people and to speak to His people and to call His people through the preaching of this Word. And if we have been given ears to hear, if we haven't, we will not be one of the ones who have heard and are saying inside, I want to know the Lord. I want to understand these Scriptures and I want Him to open my heart. If He has given us ears to hear His Word, then this is what He has to say to us. Go back to Luke 11 and we'll close him with the text. Luke chapter 11. This is His Word to us. Luke 11 verse 9. He said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That leper came to the Lord asking. This is what he said. He said, Lord, if you will, you can. And the Lord said, I most certainly will. Ask Him. I'm telling you, I'm going to try to prove to us this is not our work. This is His work. But hear the word of the Lord. Man cannot live by bread alone. It's going to take every word from our God. And here it is. Here's the word of the Lord. Ask. Ask Him. I want you to ask Him this. Lord, would you allow me to know you? Would you please allow me to know you? Would you please reveal your word to me? Please. By the gift of your Spirit, please, would you open my heart? Like Lydia, I want that. Would you please open my heart and give me an understanding? This is what the God of heaven has said. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. David said in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. David said, I just want to behold His beauty. I'm seeking His face. David said, when He commanded me to, my heart cried, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'm seeking You. And here's my question. Will You let me find You? Will You please let me find You? Our Lord said, everyone that seeketh, findeth. Right here in Luke 11, our Lord gave us an example of what true knocking is, and I'm not going to read it. He said, a man is in bed with his kids, and his friend comes and says, a traveler has come to me, and I need bread. And he said, the man won't get out of the bed because he's his friend. He said, I'm already in the bed. And he's not going to get up because he's his friend, but he said he'll finally get up because the man won't stop knocking. forces him to get out of the bed. He just cannot take no for an answer. He cannot walk away. Like Jacob said, Lord, I can't let you go unless you bless me. I just have to have it. There's no life without it. I have to have you. Our Lord said, because of his importunity, that man will rise and give him whatever he needs. Everyone that knocks and cannot stop knocking, our Lord said, it shall be opened unto him. Now, I just have to, I'm ready to close, but I just have to tell you this. I can't close without saying this. If we have a heart to do this, it's only the evidence of God's work in us. This is not our work of salvation. This is only the response of His work of salvation. May God give us the response. May God give us the response to His work of salvation. May He reveal an evidence in us that from the heart is asking, seeking, knocking. May today be the day of that evidence. Ask, seek, knock. You'll get it. If you want it and if you need it, you'll get it. May the Holy Spirit make it so.